church say amen once again. Amen. First of all, I want to give all glory and honor to God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For it's in him who doeth all things well, and that we live, move, and have our very beings. Repeat after me the 122nd division of Psalm and verse number 1 with King David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. I can't think of a better place to be than in the house of the Lord, where the saints of the Lord can come into the presence of the Lord and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. God is good. God is good, not some of the time, but God is good all the time. And all the time, God is surely good. And if you're honest with yourself, God has been better to you than you could ever be or have been to your own selves. Is that all right? It's good to see y'all that came out this evening. My prayer is that God just will continue to bless you, encourage you, strengthen you as we walk this Christian journey, because Satan is busy. Satan is busy, and I just want to encourage you as myself to keep encouraged despite the obstacles and trials and tribulations and hardships and shortcomings and sickness and all those things that life brings. We just got to continue to keep encouraged, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. I want to thank the brothers once again, Brother Proud, Brother Daniels, Brother Jones, and for giving me this wonderful opportunity to come and preach God's word unto you today, and just continue to just pray for me and my wife, and I continue to pray for your family that we continue to strive to make heaven our home. And just want to thank you, brothers. I want to thank Brother Gervais and those who sung and those who led scripture and who did prayer this evening. You did a wonderful job, and I just want to thank you for that. Exodus chapter 14, 10 through 16 was read into your hearing. And I'm not going to read that again just for time's sake, but I want you to keep your finger there, because we are going to look at those passages of scripture. Exodus chapter 14, 10 through 16. We are going to look at those passages of scripture, but because of time's sake, I'm not going to read those again. But the subject that I want us to look at this evening is conquering fear. Conquering fear. And I'm going to give you three ingredients that we're going to look at in conquering fear this evening. The first one we're going to look at is let go. In conquering fear, you got to let go. Then you got to look up. You got to look up. And then lastly, you got to launch out. So you got to let go, look up, and launch out in conquering fear. I want to talk about taking risk. You know, anything worthwhile, my friends, requires some risk to it. Is that all right? And living by faith involves risk taking. In fact, you can't live without taking risk. They are risking getting married. They are risking taking a job. They are risking having a baby. Risking becoming a Christian. And so a very good question to ponder is, how do you conquer the fears that naturally come up when you launch out in faith? When you open your Bible, you find that God asks people to take risks all the time. And so this evening, we are going to look at a famous story in the Bible where God did just that. It's the story of the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. Now, you all know the background to this story. 5 days earlier, Pharaoh had told Moses and the children of Israel that they could leave Egypt. So they took off, Brother Davis, on their exodus. 5 days later, they are camped in a cul-de-sac. There are mountains on both sides of them. The Red Sea is in front of them. And the only way they can leave that cul-de-sac is to go back the way they came. And just about that time, somebody alerted them and said, Pharaoh's coming. Mm-hmm. Now in verse 10 of Exodus chapter 14, we read this. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. I mean, church, this is heart attack time. They just left Egypt. Now they see Pharaoh's army coming. They don't know what to do. So how can we conquer our fear in this situation? How do you take risks in faith? Let's talk about this for a minute, church. The Israelites did three things here. And they are, and these three things you can do when you make a step in faith, of faith. Well, you need to take a risk to allow God to demonstrate his power in your life. Here's how you conquer fear, the greatest enemy of a person of faith. You got to let go, look up, and launch out. Let go. Let go of your fear. Look at what Moses said in verse 13, church. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. He says, let go of your fears. In other words, he's telling the church, let go of your fear. You know what? Brother Proud, someone has counted, and the phrase fear not occurs 365 times in the Bible. That's one for every day of the year. What God is saying here, church, in all these places is stop being controlled by your fears. Cast all your cares, cast all your anxieties on him because God cares for you. You say, I can't try this and I can't attempt this. I don't know how this will work out. Stop being controlled by your fears. How are you going to do that? How do you let go of your fear? There is only one way to let go of your fear. You must begin every day by reminding yourself that God is in control. That's the only way that you will ever let go of the fear that is keeping you from risking in faith. Pursuing your God-given purpose. Recognize and remind yourself constantly that your God is in complete control. And then you will be able to relax in faith. Is that all right? Look at Exodus chapter 14 and verse 1 again. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi-Hahiroth between Megiddo and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite of Baal-Zephon. Now my question is this, church. Who told the Israelites in the first place to camp in the cul-de-sac? Who told them? God told the Israelites to camp in the cul-de-sac, not Moses. God told Israel to tell the Israelites to camp in that cul-de-sac. People probably saying, you mean God laid them there in that cul-de-sac? How can God do that? God put them in an impossible situation with mountains on both sides of them and the Red Sea in front of them. And the Egyptian army behind them.
Yes, God did this. You see, sometimes God wants to put you in a situation where you will have to take a risk of faith. It's Abraham taking Isaac on top of Mount Moriah. It's Israel's marching around the walls of Jericho. It's James and John leaving their boats and nets to follow a little known rabbi from Nazareth. It's Peter stepping out of the boat. So he said, preacher, what's the lesson? The lesson is this. When God guides, God provides. When God guides, God provides. If you're following Jesus Christ and he has put a purpose in your heart of what you can be or your marriage can be or what your ministry here at the church can be, and you come up on an apparent dead end, God is setting you up to take a risk to trust him. Remember that a setback is a setup for a comeback. You see, if you have no problems at all, then you never have to live by faith. So if you come up against your own personal Red Sea, remember that there's an opportunity for God to get glory through you and for you to grow in your faith. So step one is to let go of your fear. Recognize you are in a situation where God can show himself mighty in your life. The second thing you do is you look up. You look up to God. Look at verses 13 and 14 of Exodus chapter 14. 13 and 14. The Bible says, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Over and over in scripture, my friends, God tells his people, stand still, be still. Watch me do this for you. Watch me do it. Keep your eyes on me. Look up to me. And I'll fight your battles for you. Now what does God, why does God say stand still? Because fear always causes you to run. When you're afraid, the natural reaction, Brother Davis, is to run. I've got to get out of here. I can't handle this pressure. It's too much. I'm leaving. I'm gone. I'm leaving my wife. She's too much. I'm leaving my husband. He's too much. I'm leaving my job. So we run. But God says, stand still. You can't see God act when you're running all the time. You got to stand still and watch. So Moses tells God's people, stand still and look up. The interesting thing here, my friends, is that the Israelites had looked every direction but up. They looked to the east and they saw the Red Sea. They looked north and saw mountains. They looked south and saw some more mountains. They looked west and saw the Egyptian army racing toward them. They looked every direction but up. What is this teaching us today? What's this teaching us? Instead of looking out, we need to look up. Instead of looking out at the problem surrounding us and saying good grief, we need to look up to God. We got to train ourselves to first look to God's resources in every situation. Over and over. Over and over. In story after story. In scripture. This principle is still the same. And if we are to become people of faith, we must train ourselves to do what God's people were taught to do in situation after situation in the Bible. Now you probably said, what's the lesson here for us? Here the Egyptian army is storming down on the Israelites. It appears that there's no way out. Their God-given dream of freedom is about to go down the tubes. All their hopes and aspirations of a promised land seem to be on the verge of being lost. What's the lesson? The lesson is that God often waits until the last second to answer. Is that all right? Let me say it again. God often waits till the last second to answer. Have you found that to be true in your life? But why does God do that? I mean, that frustrates us. Why you wait till the last second to answer? How come you didn't answer this 2 weeks ago? How come you didn't answer this a week ago or a day ago? Because it's a test of faith. That's the reason why. It's a test of your faith. God want to know how far you will go with him. He want to know how far you will go with him. God stretches your trust in him to your limit so that it will be longer when your crisis is past. So you let go of your fear because you know that where God guides, God provides. And you look up to the Father because you know even though it may be at the last possible moment, he will act on your behalf. And that's what I was talking about this morning, expecting God to act in your life. You know he's going to show up and show out. But we don't know when, but we're going to expect him to answer. And if it ain't at the last minute, it don't matter. He's in time and on time and in the nick of time. Is that all right? And then the third thing is that you launch out. You launch out. You launch out in faith. This is the moment of truth when you make the decision. You take that action step that demonstrates you are trusting God to come through for you. And you go for it. Let's read verse 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the Red Sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the Red Sea on dry ground. My friends, this is the moment of truth right now. God had given them the dream of freedom. God had brought them to the edge of the sea. Now he says, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? I brought you into this cul-de-sac. When God provides, when God guides, God provides. Keep moving forward. That's what God is telling the children of Israel. That's what God's telling them. Keep moving forward. If I have brought you here, don't stop marching. Don't stop marching forward just because there's an enormous obstacle in your way. You got to take the plunge. Don't stop because you have an enormous trial in your way. No, enormous tribulation in your way. Don't stop because of some type of sickness. Don't stop because of some type of tragedy. You keep on going because God has not brought you out here in your cul-de-sac of life to leave you here. God wants you to move forward. Because when God guides, God provides. The point is here. This is the point, church. There's a time to pray, and there's a time to act. Here is a time to wait patiently upon the Lord and fasting and reflecting and searching the word of God. And there's a time to move. A time to act on what you believe God is calling you to do. That which will allow you, or allow him, excuse me, to demonstrate his glory through you. Now everybody here has a fear. You can't tell me there's nobody here that have no fear. Somebody has a fear. Some of us have some dozens of fears. You would like to change your marriage, but you're afraid. You would like to change careers, but you're afraid. You would like to do something radical with the ministry you have in this church, but you are afraid of what people might say or what might happen. How do you get rid of your fears? Here's the secret, Brother Davis. The secret of eliminating fear in your life is to move against the fear. Do the very thing that you fear. I remember when I was a kid, my father took me to the state fair in Kansas City. And at that fair, there was this enormous roller coaster. And my friend wanted me to ride this roller coaster with him, Brother Brown. And I said, no way, that's just too terrifying. I'm not getting on that roller coaster. But I let my friend talk me into it. And he got me on the roller coaster, Brother Simon. We bought our ticket. We waited our turn. I planned to take the chicken exit. But my father had me in that seat before I knew it. Moments later, we were off on the most terrifying and gut-wrenching experience of my young life. I was sure that death was only seconds away. When the roller coaster rolled back, Brother Clemens, I jumped out my seat and screamed, "Let's do that again!" The only way you can overcome fear is to do the thing that you fear. God says to Moses, "Move on, Moses. Take the risk. Step into the Red Sea, because your promised land is in that direction. Launch out and watch the waters part." Never forget that faith is an action. It is not just mental assent. It's not simply accepting as true some prepositional statement. Faith is acting on that very thing you say you believe is true. Verse 16. The Bible said, "Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go around the sea." You would say that? Your Bible said over the sea? No, the Bible don't say that. The Bible says that so that the Israelites can go through the Red Sea on dry ground. So the lesson is this. God usually takes you through your problems and not around them. God usually takes you through your crisis, through your difficulties, through your impossible situations and not around them. If he took you around it, it wouldn't take much faith if you're going around problems and situations. But he will take you right through the middle of it, so you will have to trust him more than ever. Now, my question is to you this evening. What is the Red Sea in your life right now? What cul-de-sac are you in your life right now? What's on the right side of you? What's on the left side of you? What's on the front side of you? What's on the back side of you that seems to get you so afraid that you can't move forward? Knowing that God, if he brought you to the cul-de-sac, he's not going to leave you in the cul-de-sac. He brought you in that cul-de-sac so you can trust him even more now than you ever did in your life before. God wants to see how much you're going to trust him. Why are you in the midst of that cul-de-sac? Why are you in having your Red Sea experience? What is it that you would like to do for God, but it scares you to death to do it? What daring decision do you need to make? What could you do this week in faith to move against your fear? I encourage you, church, today to let go of your fear, remembering that God is in control of your life. Look up to him and trust to him. Trust him to keep his promise to you. Even though he may wait until the very last moment to act. And then launch out this week to take that risk, that step of faith that says, God, I'm laying it all on the line. I need a miracle in my marriage. I need a miracle in my finances. I need a miracle in my ministry. I'm going to follow your principles, Lord, and take a step of faith by doing the very thing I fear and expect you to come through for me. I'm going to conquer my fear. And you know what, my friends? God will help you to overcome. God will help you in the midst of your cul-de-sac. God will help you while you in your Red Sea experience. God will help you. God will give you the strength. God will make provisions for you to help you through your storm. All you need to do is to what? Let go, look up, and launch out. Let God work in your life. God has the power. God has the power, Brother Proud. We don't have the power. God has the power to help us. And the reason why I know, Brother Davis, that God has the power is because in chemistry, he turned water to wine. In biology, Brother Proud, he was born without the normal conception. In physics, he disapproved the law of gravity when he ascended into heaven. In economics, he disapproved the law of diminishing return by feeding 5,000 men with two fish and five loaves of bread. In medicine, he cured the sick and the blind without administering a single dose of drugs. In history, he is the beginning and the end. In government, he said that he should be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. In religion, he said, no one comes to the Father except through me. The greatest man in history. Jesus had no servants, yet they called him Master. He had no degree, but yet, Brother Davis, they called him Teacher. He had no medicine, but yet they call him Healer. He had no army, but yet they called him the Kings of Kings. He won no military battles, but yet he conquered the world. He committed no crime, yet they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, but yet he lives today. Is that all right? If somebody's going to take my battles for me, that's the man I want. Jesus has all power. He has all authority in his hand. We serve a God that is omnipotent. We serve a God who is omniscient. We serve a God who is omnipresent. Yes. Not only is he those three things, but we serve a God who is omni-audio. We serve a God who is omni-video. He sees all and hears all. Is that all right? Yes. We got to put our trust in him. And he will see you through. Don't let your Red Sea experience. Don't let this cul-de-sac that you're in right now, this spiritual cul-de-sac that you're in right now, this spiritual Red Sea stop you from letting go and looking up and launching out. That's what the devil wants. The devil wants you to give up. The devil wants you to lose hope. The devil wants you to lose faith. But God said, look, there is a way out. I will make a way out of no way. Just look up to me. God has already provided. The fight is already fixed. I'm going to say this, I'm going to call it. The fight is already fixed. Don't you know the fight is already fixed in your life? God has already made provisions. God has already fixed the battle that you're in. All you need to do is just to look.
ears and know that God is in control. If there's somebody in here who is not a member of body of Christ, you come by hearing God's word. Romans 10 and verse 17. For faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And after you come by hearing God's word, you got to believe the word with all your heart. Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. People come to God must believe that He is, and that He's a reward of them that diligently seek Him. And after you come by believing God's word, you got to repent of your past sins. You got to make a 180-degree turn of your life.